We need your support, your financial support. So as you listen to the podcast, as you hear the message, we would ask you to freely go to the donation page and donate. You can either donate by credit card or you can donate by Cash App. We appreciate you. And again, we need your financial support. We feed the homeless. We help in all type of outreach areas as we're trying to build outreach ministries. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And I like to say to you, thank you in advance for your continued free offering support. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eternity, his amazing.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus that you bless us, that you keep us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your will be done and that you will magnify yourself in this life and in our life, Lord God, that we will be able to see you. Father, as I decrease, increase in me and teach your people your word. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
We're in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. And we start off, it says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't believe you heard me. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. I said it three times so it could resonate in your heart. What was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? The law. And they're trying to follow the law. Is it just any law of God? No, just the laws of Moses. That's what they considered righteous. And he's saying right now that except your righteousness exceeds that, goes far beyond and surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you better get up out of that law of Moses and get into grace. Because the law, by occasion of the commandment, can set a precedence against man and become a trap. And people are always trying to point out everybody else's fault about what they're doing wrong in the law. And the idea that you are not God and you're doing it makes you guilty of the same thing that you're accusing them of. John chapter 7 says, "Judge ye not, lest ye be judged." First take that big old plank out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to judge your brother. So, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was as so. They were people who pointed out how everybody else was wrong and that they was right according to the law of Moses. In 12 it says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment." Now we're talking about the law. "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," which basically means empty-headed, foolish, "shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool," straight call somebody a straight out fool, "shall be in danger of hell's fire." Isn't it amazing that this is the righteousness that the scribes and the Pharisees had simply because they proclaimed to be righteous and everybody else who didn't follow like they followed or wasn't a part of their clique, the Sanhedrin council, was cast aside as a sinner and called a publican? Jesus said they were like whited sepulchres, all polished and shiny on the outside, but inward they were full of dead men's bones. They did not enter into the kingdom, neither did they allow others to enter in. So they could not enter into the kingdom because of what they served and how they believed. And it's amazing to me that even though all this abundant grace has been shared to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, people would rather go follow the law of Moses, so that they can feel as though they're right. But they're not right. And they're not going into heaven. You see it right here written in scripture. Another point I need to bring up. Jesus, when he came, he modified the law, starting with 5:3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He did that purposely so that men would know that you have something that you could actually accomplish instead of following the law. He paid the debt on Calvary's cross by the law. If we go to 5:17, it says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill." So Jesus fulfilled the law so that we wouldn't have to. So if it's already been fulfilled by the perfect propitiation for our sin, then why would you want to follow that has already been taken care of? And so he modifies these laws. He says, you have heard in 21, it's said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whoever is angry. In other words, don't let it get to the place where you kill somebody. Don't even be angry. There's another time he said, if you look upon a woman and lust in your heart, you've already committed the sin. In other words, don't wait until you commit adultery. Stop it at the very look upon a woman. He came to modify it so it became simple practices that something can be done on the inside where people ain't going behind you pointing out everything that you do is wrong. Because that's what people who follow the law do. And that is the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. In 23 he says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother or to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. So if you're at the altar offering a gift to God and you're there getting ready to pray and ask God to be blessed by this that you're giving, even if it's a financial gift or anything, he said, leave that and go take care of what you have ought against when you realize at that point that you have ought against your brother. If you come into the place where you're really dealing with God, you would leave that and you would go take care of the issue with your brother and reconcile with him first, as opposed to continuing to pray. This is why a lot of people, prayers don't get answered. Because they would go to a holy, righteous, omnipotent, glorious God and pray to him and have bitterness in their heart against somebody else. You're not in position to get your prayer answered. Because now you're putting on a front as though you're something that you're not. You go take care of that and reconcile with your brother. Get that thing done. This is why it's not good to argue with people. This is why it's not good for people to leave open-ended arguments and then won't give a person a chance to come back and try to figure out why this went wrong. This is why you must come together and talk about it. See, because you are in danger of hell's fire if you don't reconcile and you go before God. Your prayers will not be answered, because in God's eyes you are a sinner and you refuse to reconcile with community. 25, agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. So it's, if you are in the way where you are arguing with somebody, and you have somebody that is an adversary who is on the other side, isn't it better than to just keep going through all this? You done told them they don't want to receive it. Isn't it better just to shut it down and agree to disagree and move on with it? Just disagree and let it go so that they have nothing else to say and move on. Lest it become something more than what it is. And at any time the adversary will say, well, you did this, or you pushed, or you hit, or you did something like that. And then he has to take you to the judge. And then the judge has to take you to the officer, and you can be cast in the prison for committing an offense. And you're the one that's right. This is why the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. You cannot be the fool that follows the fool. You have got to be the one who says, I'm not going to be foolish like you. If you want to take the rope, go for it. And they have their reward right there. They think they won, but they haven't won anything. They lost majorly. Because now, where you go on and walk in God and know the truth, they walk in darkness. And you can't tell them because they don't want to know. So you've delivered yourself. 26. Verily I say unto thee, Thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So, if there's something to pay as a result of this, it's better for you just to agree, especially when it comes to money issues. If somebody is not going to give you what's yours, if somebody's going to actually take from you, if somebody's going to actually see, it is just better for you to agree with them and let them have whatever it is they're going to have. You take the L and let God deal with it. It's better to take the loss and let God deal with it. Unless the judge gets involved and then the officer gets involved and then you're the one who's standing for right and end up in prison. 27 says, you have heard that it was said by them of time old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Here we go, another modification to the laws. But I say unto you, that whosoever look upon a woman and lust after her have committed adultery within her already in his heart. So he's saying, don't wait until you commit the adultery. Stop it when you look upon her and start lusting. Stop it right there. See, it says also in 29, if thy right hand or thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it far from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. So if your right eye is offending you because it can't stop looking at women to the place where it's better for you to walk around here blind than to let that one part of your anatomy send you to hell. He's going on to say, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that if one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. So it is beneficial to you to sever yourself from these members that are asking you to go into hell's fire. If it's the members of your body, cut it off. Now, let's go with the members of the church. What if it's the members of the church? And you know they're wrong and you're going with them anyway. You ain't got to argue with them. You ain't got to fuss with them. You ain't got to tear it down. But you don't have to hang with them. You got to make a decision. You got to learn how to let people go. You got to learn how to let people go. You have to learn. It's not unrighteousness to just move on with life. If you disagree, then why would you go on the path with someone who disagrees? It doesn't make sense. You know they're going to hell and you're going to follow them blindly? Or even with your eyes wide open? Or is your eyes wide shut? You can only answer that. Why do you follow men when you're supposed to be following God? I don't get it. 31 says, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causing her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. So what is he saying here? If you get divorced from your wife and you got rid of your wife for the sake of fornication because you want to go fornicate with somebody else, so you gave her a written bill of divorcement, and then when you go to marry that person, not only you committing adultery, but you're committing the wife to commit adultery. God is not mocked. See, God is not mine. There's other parts of the Bible that says when you divorce a wife, you should not be remarried. Not until she dies. For that sake, so that you will not be committing adultery. But we just do it like chewing bubblegum. Oh, I drop one wife today and I go get another one tomorrow. Why is that there? So that you would really consider who it is you're going to marry. if you can't really, really see yourself spending a lifetime with this individual and you guys aren't compatible now, then why would you marry her and you're not compatible? It don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Some people like that kind of pain and put themselves under subjection like that. I don't get it. But let's move on. 33. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oath. So you should not promise or forswear yourself, but you will perform unto the Lord your oaths. If you say I'm going to be there, then you need to show up. If you become committed to something, you need to do it. You need to follow through with your oath. Because the Lord is watching. The Lord is watching. Amen. In 34 he says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So you can't use anything that belongs to God to say, I promise, I swear, I'll do this. That's wrong. You can't swear by something that is God's. Well, I'm a child of God and I'm going to keep my word. You can't do that. You need to just go perform what you said you're going to perform and leave that alone. Quit promising people that you're going to do stuff and you know you're not reliable like that. People procrastinate. Life happens. There could have been an accident and you had to go do something else and couldn't show up. If it's within your power to do, then do it. If it's not, keep your mouth shut. Don't promise nobody nothing. Nobody is forcing you to promise. That's a free will thing that people do. Free will. 36. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou cannot make one hair black or white. But let your communication be yea for yea and nay for nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So, you have to let all your communication, everything that comes out of your mouth, even your actions, be yes for yes and no for no. See? For whatever is more than these cometh of evil. So that in-between ground where everybody's trying to be politically correct, look at where we are in today's society. Isn't that where the evil is coming from? There's no absolute yes. There's no absolute no. So there's no absolute truth. So it's left up to what the person feels. But we're Christians. Your yeas should be yeas and your nays should be nays. Period. 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak. So if a man is suing you, he's going to take away your coat, then let him have your cloak also. See, just like you have heard, you don't sit there and try to resist the evil. Somebody's trying to do you dirt, then you just let them have whatever it is that they need to have. Don't get caught up into trying to argue with them. If they want to take from you and they come in and they tell you, like, you give somebody something and they don't want to return it, let them keep it. You let God be the judge of that. You can't get caught up in that, because the place that it takes for you to go there to get your stuff back becomes a whole different animal. Some things you just got to let it go. You got to let go and let God. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. In other words, you be the hand of God that people would see. If God will lend to you, if God will give to you, if God would raise you, then why wouldn't you help somebody else get to where they need to get? You know that $20 ain't gonna kill you. It doesn't matter what they do with it. Bless them that are less fortunate than you. If someone asks you to go a mile to help him out, and then it turns out to be two, go two. Go out of your way to help so that you can show by evidence that you are the child of the Most High. He says in 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Here's another commandment of Moses that he's throwing out here. But thou, love thy neighbor is the commandment. And the opposite of that is hate your enemy. Okay? But that part is not actually written in the law of Moses. But the thou shalt love thy neighbor is written. And it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? If you only go out and do good to those that love you, then what is the benefit? What are you winning? What are you gaining? See, love is supposed to break every barrier, and it can when properly used. If you love those that are unlovable, are not you doing the work of the Lord? Because you were unlovable, amen. And yet God loved you. Amen. You were unlovable, and God looked past your faults and saw your need.
Amen.
See, so why wouldn't we do the same for somebody else? If you were the one that was going to court, and they was taking you to court to prove that you were a Christian so they convict you, would they have enough evidence? Or would they see you that proclaims the things of God as someone just runs their mouth without the evidence? So he said in 46, for if you love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publican or the sinner the same? The sinner loves those that love him. So shouldn't there ought to be a difference between you and the sinner in everything? Yes, there should. He goes on in 47 to say, and if ye salute your brother only, what more do ye than others? Do not even the publicans. So, what is the salute? Some form of salutation. It doesn't have to be an officer salute, even though that's fine. You can use that. But what is salutation? What does it take to say good morning? Just to speak to somebody. You don't know what people are going through. Just to bless them in their day. You don't know. But yet, we hold back simple things like good morning. Don't even want to speak to each other. 48 says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So doing the opposite of what the sinner is doing is the work of the perfectionist, the one who is being perfect like your Father which is in heaven. Because no one can proclaim that God does what sinners do. God has nothing to do, or nor does he operate, neither does the Christ, like the sinner. So to God be the glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you, and we just thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We love you, and we ask that in the name of Jesus, that you just bless us and keep us. And hold on to us, Lord God. Don't let us go. Let us reach so that the evidence that we will see in our lives will be of you and not of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Where the evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell never unveil. The downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls. I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs. Look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. Right, don't delay. Stop thinking with your worldly way. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie. And ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tell you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the people stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
That's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out, though you begging and yelling please. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it, come upon your last breath. Repent for all your sins. Learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare. We live in the last days.
People, get ready.